Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, the Olympic hubbub has subsided, and Congress is currently out of Washington, making, as Will Rogers liked to point out, all of us feel a little less nervous, at least for a little while. And the heat and humidity are living up to the title, The Dog Days of August. None of this, of course, means that things have slowed down in the electronic realm, even if most of us haven't been paying a lot of attention. So today, here's a potpourri of things that might have slipped our notice in the whirl of summer life. If there are Facebook users listening, and there probably are, since there are now supposedly 955 million people on Facebook around the world, which, if it were a country, would make it the third largest in the world. Anyway, there have been a number of important developments of late in the ongoing saga of Facebook and user privacy. For 4 or 5 years now, Facebook has been making changes to its privacy policy, and then letting users know about it afterwards. In every case so far, Facebook has made the change and then told users that if they don't like the new sharing of their information with advertisers or with other users who they don't know from Adam, users have to change their sometimes hard-to-find privacy settings. In other words, Facebook makes all of its privacy changes opt-out, which means that they get turned on by default, and if a user doesn't like the increased sharing of his or her data, it's up to the user to figure out what's going on and turn off the new changes. Needless to say, a lot of people didn't find this a very good way to do things, and screamed about one privacy erosion after another. The clamor got so loud that in 2009, the Federal Trade Commission decided to look into Facebook's privacy practices. After over 2 years, the commission recently came to a conclusion and, in a settlement agreed to by Facebook, ordered Facebook to make all future changes to its privacy policies opt-in. In other words, no more making changes and then telling users about it later. From now on, if Facebook wants to make changes that affect privacy, users will have to choose to make those changes apply to them. And just to sweeten the pot, Facebook will have to undergo privacy audits by an independent third party every other year for the next 20 years. That seems to be good news for users. The bad news? The changes Facebook has been making will stay as they are, which means that if you're a Facebook user, you may want to look very carefully at your privacy settings, because all the changes that Facebook has made over the past few years still apply to your account. Take a good look and see if the privacy settings that have been changed for you are ones that you want to live with. If not, you'll need to change them yourself, hopefully for the last time. Meanwhile, Facebook is also changing users over to its new timeline visual format. So far, the changes to this format have been voluntary. Some people like it. Some people feel it makes too much information about them accessible. Whatever your feelings, you won't have an option any longer. Like it or not, if you choose to keep using Facebook, your account will migrate to the timeline format over the next few months, whether you like it or not. All right, enough about Facebook. While Congress is in recess, the courts are not. Regular listeners to this program may recall that over a year ago, the Transportation Security Administration was ordered by a federal court to conduct a formal rulemaking process that applies to the so-called nudie scanners, the full-body scanners that TSA has already deployed to hundreds of airports around the country, including several in Maine. This, by the way, is a process that, under the law, is supposed to happen before new regulations are established. It includes taking public comments on whatever the proposed rulemaking is. The TSA completely ignored the law and put these new scanners in place at a cost of hundreds of millions of dollars with no rulemaking process whatsoever. Many people feel that these scanners are potentially harmful to health and that they're gross invasions of personal privacy. So the Electronic Privacy Information Center, among others, asked a court to order the agency to conduct a formal rulemaking process under the law, even if the horse was already out of the barn. The Obama administration, which has turned out to be one of the most secretive in history, despite Mr. Obama's pledges of open government on his first day in office, fought the request, but the court order was granted. So, what did the rulemaking process turn up? No one knows, since the TSA has completely ignored the court order for over a year and has conducted no rulemaking process whatsoever, federal law be damned. Now the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia has ordered the TSA to explain its lack of action by the end of August. We'll keep an eye on the response, which should be of great interest to anyone who flies or knows someone who does. And finally, research labs are still working too in the summer and turning out results that will probably become parts of our everyday lives before too long. For example, researchers at the Auckland Bioengineering Institute down in New Zealand have created a new technology which would capture some of the energy that we use while we walk and transform that energy into electrical power that could charge our cell phones and tablets and whatnot while we go about our daily business. That sounds pretty cool. No more looking for an electric outlet at the library or coffee shop or airport. Not only would this type of technology help keep our electric devices charged, it would make it possible to use smaller batteries, since they wouldn't have to hold a charge as long, which means smaller and lighter devices. Sometimes technology is grand. We won't see these new chargers in the next few months, but keep an eye out for them in the next few years. Okay, back to the barbecue and the lake and mowing the lawn. But before you do that, take a moment and call 1-800-643-6273 and help charge up the coffers of WERU, which depends on your financial energy to keep the station going every hour of every day, bringing you all kinds of otherwise unavailable programs, including, of course, Notes from the Electronic Cottage.